The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Australia's new PM, Anthony Albanese, got a first taste of international relations when he visited Japan just after the federal election in March for the Quad meeting. Then he flew to Indonesia this month to meet with President Joko Widodo. Now Albo is in Spain on the sidelines of the NATO summit, and the rhetoric around China and Russia is heating up. Joining us now to unpack it all is global futurist and foreign affairs expert Dr. Keith Suter. Good morning, Keith. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about China, because that's probably has the biggest impact on us here in WA because of our trade ties. NATO, the world's most powerful military alliance, has just declared China as a security threat for the first time. What does that mean?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is really NATO reinventing itself. So if you look back over the history, NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was formed after the end of World War II, during the beginning of the Cold War, and it was designed to keep the Russians out, the Americans in, and the Germans down. In other words, that you keep the Russians out of Western Europe, you keep the Americans involved in Western Europe, not have them go back to isolationism, and you keep the Germans down, prevent them from starting World War III. Well, by early 1992, NATO had worked itself out of a job and could easily have said, mission accomplished, we can all go home now. Because the Soviet Union had collapsed, the Americans were fully engaged in world affairs, and the Germans had reinvented themselves and were not nearly as aggressive as they had been in previous decades. So NATO could easily have finished up at that point with this sense of mission accomplished, and it really lingered on. Nobody could see any real purpose for it. It got involved with the campaign in Afghanistan, and Afghanistan's a long way from the North Atlantic. So it was really looking for a job to do. And now, since February 24th this year, suddenly NATO is being welcomed as a major military alliance. It is expanding its membership. Traditional neutral countries, Sweden and Finland, have now applied to join. They've been so traumatized by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And NATO is really, I think, refashioning itself as a global policing organization, not just protecting the North Atlantic, but seeing the major threats to international peace and security coming not only from Russia, the traditional enemy, but also now China. And so that's the reason behind, I think, the very strong language that has been used by NATO to sort of send warnings to China that having taken on Russia, China's going to be next if China doesn't behave itself. So yesterday's meeting has been very historic indeed. Now, whether it's the prelude to World War III between NATO and China, of course, is another matter, but it's certainly a very historic meeting.
And China doesn't have a great track record of taking these sorts of insults on the chin. How do you think Beijing will respond?
Well, it's clear from their immediate reaction that they're very angry. You're right. The Chinese are not very happy with the NATO statement. And China has said, oh, well, NATO is just reinventing a new Cold War, this time, of course, with China as the target rather than the Soviet Union. So, yes, China is very angry. The problem is for China that when it looks out on the world, it sees itself surrounded by hostile countries. So you've got Japan, South Korea, to the south, obviously, Australia. You've got a number of countries that are not friendly towards China. They may trade with China, but there's a wariness there regarding China. And so China sees itself somewhat besieged. And, of course, Russia sees itself as being somewhat besieged now because of its invasion of Ukraine. So, in a sense, China and Russia are improving their relations, even though there's mutual hostility that goes back for centuries between those two countries. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so suddenly China and Russia find themselves united in a common contempt for the United States and its allies.
Well, let's talk about Russia. NATO also made a very strong statement about Putin, saying that Russia and Putin are the most significant threat to member states' security. What effect does making a statement like that have?
Well, I think it's just really echoing the feeling that a lot of people do have in the Western world. Not everybody in the world agrees with that assessment. India, for example, is quite happy to continue trading with Russia. And, of course, we're looking towards India to join in the Quad, that's the United States, Japan, Australia and India to oppose China. So the Indians don't like the Chinese, but they are very friendly still towards the Russians. But certainly what we're seeing is in the Western world is a coming together to oppose Russia. The invasion of Ukraine is really a turning point in world history. And we're looking at all the various implications. For example, just going right outside our scope, you've got the whole issue now on climate, because thanks to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, there's a disruption of energy supplies. And so countries that have been closing down coal mines are now suddenly reopening them. There's now an increased demand for Australian coal because it's good quality coal. And you've got environmentalists worried about what it's going to do to the target of trying to reduce carbon emissions when so many people are saying we've got to get back to coal. We can't generate enough from solar energy. We can't rely on nuclear power. Therefore, we're back to the old one of coal. And you've got environmentalists who are very troubled about this. So we see with the Russian invasion of Ukraine something that has global implications. It's not just a dispute in Eastern Europe. It now has global implications. And, of course, there's also the shortage of food. Russia and Ukraine are major exporters of grain to the international market. That is now being disrupted, which means that if you're an Australian farmer producing grain, you've suddenly got extra demand on what you can produce.
Mm. And so when NATO comes out and smashes Putin and Russia, and they come out and call China malicious, I think is the word that they used overnight, what does that mean for us here in Australia? Because Anthony Albanese and Australia aren't part of NATO. He's not at the NATO meetings, but he is there on the sidelines. He is appearing with a lot of these world leaders. Do China look at us as, you know, sort of a kind of like a diet version of a NATO member state? Are we in line to get more of the trade boycotts that they levied against us?
Well, the problem for China is that you're right. They levied the trade boycotts against us, but Australia didn't back down. Remember, Australia angered China by calling for an independent inquiry into the origins of the COVID crisis in Wuhan. We probably should have worked through the European Union, but instead Australia went out alone calling for this international inquiry. That really infuriated China. China has then clamped down on some aspects of the exports from Australia to China. But it really hasn't changed Australian policy very much, even though we've now got a new government in Canberra. They're going to continue some of those old policies. They have not been intimidated. And this is actually being watched internationally because, in a sense, it's a case of you kill the chicken to scare the monkey. Well, they're trying to kill the chicken. That's Australia. But it's not scaring the monkey, which is the United States. And so there is this element of defiance amongst the countries being bullied by China. And China realizes that perhaps there's a limit to the amount of bullying that it can do. So it has been a very interesting development, the use of trade as an international weapon or international trade boycotts as a weapon. And that weapon has so far failed on the part of China. Now, of course, we are a major trading partner for China. China, through its what's called Belt and Road Initiative, is redesigning the global economy with China at the center. The Americans have wasted 20 years chasing a handful of fanatical Muslims around. The Chinese, out of the public eye, have been redesigning the global economy. And eventually that Belt and Road Initiative will open up huge amounts of alternative suppliers in China, in Africa and Latin America. And so China eventually will be able to say to Australia, we don't need your stuff anyway now, because we can get it all from Africa, and the Africans don't give us lectures on human rights. That's some way to go yet, but that's a long-term threat, which is why Australia should be moving away from just reliance on the export of raw materials and energy and looking to the value added and the development of our service sector.
And so what do you think that Anthony Albanese is hoping to get out of these meetings that he's having in Europe and especially in Spain at the moment around the NATO summit? And Is he being successful so far?
Yes, he has. I think that the trip, from his point of view, has gone extremely well. And don't forget, it's not only Australia that's been invited, but also New Zealand. So it's indication that NATO is beginning to expand its range of activities, which will obviously include now the Far East and keeping an eye on China. And Australia is seen now at the top table. Okay, it's not a member of NATO, But who knows? As an associate member, we were a major provider of forces in Afghanistan compared with other NATO countries. So that would certainly add to Australia's prestige. The Prime Minister then goes on to France, where no doubt he'll apologise for the mess up over the cancellation of the submarine contract. Biden has already apologised to the French, and now Australia will do so. And of course, that will help clear the way for negotiations on further trade arrangements between Australia and the European Union. And he may well make a surprise visit to Kiev. Obviously, you don't make any announcement about the Prime Minister going to Kiev. That would give the Russians an opportunity to kill the Australian Prime Minister. But it wouldn't surprise me if somehow Albo managed to squeeze in a trip to Kiev for a photo opportunity with President Zelensky. Everybody else seems to be going to Kiev. We might as well have the Australian Prime Minister there as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's that'd be fascinating to see. But also, you know, a meeting with Macron, breaking a baguette with the French president and having a Beaujolais or two, I think it would be very good for Franco-Australian relations. Foreign affairs expert Dr. Keith Suter, thanks for joining us on The West Live.
Thank you.
To have your say, or if you have a story, email the team at thewestlive@wanews.com.au.